My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number 2. Woo, I had to run into the kitchen really quick to get a cup of coffee. If you missed any parts of hour number 1, I'm posting it right now. It's going to be up. Go to the show archives at chosengenerationradio.com. And click on the Rumble link, and you'll be able to go to our Rumble channel over there, and you can watch it live, the interview that I just did with Masara Kim. Don't want to take a bunch of time talking about that, because I need to get to my next guest, and oh my goodness, I'll tell you folks, this is a major program that we're doing today, and I just hope you'll stay tuned for all of it. We've also got Tucker's autobiographer next hour. And we'll be visiting again with Chadwick Moore as well. Sam Faddis joins me now. Sam, I just, first of all, thank you so much. I really appreciate you getting up at the crack of dawn here to join us on the program today. Tell folks very briefly your autobiography. You've got books about it, but just give me a very short snippet for my audience, and then let's get into our subject matter.
Right. Well, I was once upon a time a United States Army officer. I'll get the skeleton in the closet out right up front. I'm also a trial attorney. I spent 20 years undercover with the Central Intelligence Agency, almost all of that abroad, another decade working with other parts of the intelligence community, basically training people to do what I had done. These days, I am senior editor with an online publication called AND Magazine, A-N-D Magazine, at Substack, and involved also with the committee Present Danger China, focused on the danger to the United States from the Chinese Communist Party.
Of which I'm honored to be a part of that as well with Frank Gaffney and great work that is being done by that organization. If you're not aware of it, folks, we've talked about it here. I hope you will be. So let's talk, Sam. First of all, this wasn't on the agenda, but I just want to get your thoughts on this. You watched the whistleblowers as they came forward and spoke before the congressional committee. I know you weren't shocked by anything that they had to say, but I'm wondering, what was your impression of how they were treated?
It's horrifying. Look, the law is crystal clear here. The provisions are crystal clear here. These are folks who've stood up and done their duty, who've took their constitutional oath seriously. There's no question they were retaliated against. It's an entire stack of illegal actions that were taken here. It's not close. It's not marginal. It's not debatable.
There's been a lot that has been said about the CIA. I know that you have come forward and spoken a great deal about a number of the programs that the CIA has been engaged in going back some 50, 60 years as far as its efforts to manipulate population, change narratives, a lot of those kinds of things. At the same time, I know both of us, I had my experience through the United States Air Force as a Russian linguist in the intel area. I know that the CIA also played an important role in many operations. So there was good, there was also significant evil, all being done using the same banner or what have you. Does it surprise you then that the CIA has been engaged in the espionage it's been engaged in, first against President Trump and now in protecting Biden and the crime family?
Yeah, well, I don't know if surprised is the right word anymore, right? Because we've seen so much. Disgusts me. I mean, look, Central Intelligence Agency's job is to focus on foreign threats, as you well know. You should not be within 10 miles of American domestic politics. Clearly illegal, inappropriate, immoral, we could go on, right? So that disgusts me. And I suspect it disgusts still a great number of individuals inside the organization that leadership has taken this direction. It's intolerable. And assuming we get the right guy in the White House this next time around, somebody needs to go in there with a big broom, like in a lot of other federal agencies, and sweep out the folks behind this.
Is that kind of house cleaning possible? I mean, President Trump came in, I think the first time around, he was really trying to create unity. He was trying to give people an opportunity to change direction, do the right thing. John Brennan ran a covert operation that was a coup, I believe, against the United States of America. Do you see that the same way?
Yeah, I concur. Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that has been lost in much of the discussion of Crossfire Hurricane, if you will, is what occurred inside the Central Intelligence Agency, if you will, behind the curtain. And in my opinion, the guy at the heart of that, absolutely, John Brennan, without question. Is it possible to clean that out? Yeah. Easy? No. Possible? Yes. You got to send somebody there, first of all, that understands the organization, because otherwise they will lead him around by the nose.
Sure.
And he won't have any idea what he's doing. And then he has to have the full support, absolute full support, of the President of the United States to do whatever is necessary. And that's going to start with informing X number of people day one, minute one of day one, your services are no longer required. Clean out your desks and let's go. And then not tolerating any internal foot dragging, slow rolling, internal resistance. You're either with the program and we're going back to doing the country's business, or you also can go find another job. That's what it's going to take.
Now, I would assume also that there's going to have to be some criminal prosecutions in that, because some of these entities, some of these individuals have networks that are 20, 25 years old, and you remove them out and that's all well and good. But you know, and I know it sounds like a spy movie, right? But I mean, the reality is they're going to go do what they're going to do, potentially outside of the auspices of the CIA, and still potentially be a threat to our country. Am I off base in considering that?
No, you're not off base at all. The way I would look at it is, we are going to, whoever does this, man, mm-hmm. woman, doesn't matter, goes through the door, is going to do the needful. We're going to fix this place. We're cleaning this out. We're, you know, okay. And whatever is required, we're not pulling punches. If you've engaged in criminal conduct, then you will be criminally prosecuted. And this is one of the reasons why I say you have to have somebody that understands the terrain. When Brennan left as director of Central Intelligence, he was replaced by a lady named Gina Haspel. Okay. Gina is John Brennan's protege. She was, this is my verbiage, his girl.
Yeah.
So that's Brennan in drag. That's, you replaced Brennan and put somebody in his place who is probably still reporting to him and is certainly doing his bidding.
The devil, so you know.
That's a clear demonstration that you, when you've taken this step, you don't understand where you are or what is happening.
Right.
You've made no change.
I know that. I mean, I have to assume that individuals have approached you, Sam, and said, hey, you're probably one of the best guys to consider to take this on. Would you do it? Would you take on that task?
Yeah, I would absolutely do that. Presuming, you know, if somebody asked me, the next president of the United States asked me, would you take this job? My response is, it would be an honor and a privilege, and I choose those words very deliberately. Assuming you're going to stand behind me and give me the authority to do what's needful. If we're serious, I'm your guy. If we're going to play at it, I got other things that I can do. But I will tell you this, and I mean, because I think it gets easy to get depressed these days when people are considering all the news. I think if you went in there and began to take those actions and people inside the organization understood, oh my God, you're actually serious, you'd really literally have people cheering in the halls.
Sure.
Because you still have a lot of brave people that are disgusted internally and praying, literally praying.
Right.
Please fix this. Let us get back to doing what we do, which is keeping Americans safe in their beds at night.
Yeah. Trying to hold the line as best as they can inside of an organization that is breaking every rule that can be broken. I assume that you also, the same thing would have to happen in order for the CIA to become the CIA again. The FBI has to become the FBI again, and the Department of Justice has to become the Department of Justice again. I mean, it's three heads.
Yeah, look, we're talking about CIA. Obviously, that's my background.
Sure.
As an old CIA guy, I'm kind of required to say disparaging things about the Bureau. It's sort of in our DNA.
It's right? required. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Giving each other a hard time. But the bottom line is I've worked with the Bureau.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of great friends that are special agents, retired at this point. A serious organization we desperately need, and it needs absolutely the same house cleaning as does DOJ, and honestly, probably a whole bunch of other federal agencies that need this kind of treatment.
Well, and some of them just need to go away, like the EPA and the FCC and all these little administrative monsters just need to be ended.
Yeah, look, Department of Education, I just wrote an article at N Magazine we're going to take live today talking about how folks are trying to investigate where all the Chinese money came from that went to the University of Pennsylvania's Penn Biden Center. This is this cushy little thing
right.
that UPenn set up for Biden that's basically a CCP propaganda outlet, awash in Chinese money. And they're required to say, these institutions, who actually gave them the money. But all these years later, they refuse, and the Department of Education is refusing FOIA requests when people are going in and saying, no, seriously, where did where'd all this money come from and what was it for? And the Department of Education is running interference for Joe Biden as well on this. So, those guys can go away completely as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you for building that bridge back, because I want to, in these final 10 minutes or so that we've got, to really get into, you mentioned at the onset your involvement with the Committee on the Present Danger of China. Joe Biden has been in bed with the CCP for quite some time. I know in our green room we talk about 2018, but I mean with the State Department and being with the State Department for the last 40 years, he's been in bed with the CCP for a very, very, very long time, which is why Hunter Biden would say, well, don't worry, the big guy's got us covered. And the Chinese would say, oh, yeah, we know who he is. No problem. We got it. But talk to me about that situation and the danger that poses to our country.
Yeah, well, let me start with this as a predicate. Look, I worked undercover for the Central Intelligence Agency for decades. I did a whole bunch of stuff for this Central Intelligence Agency. What's job number one as a case officer, which is what I was? Recruit sources inside target organizations. Go get guys in the Chinese intel service, Russian intel service, inside Al-Qaeda to go to work for us and give us intel. That's number one job. So when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about this because I read a book about it one time. I'm talking about this because this is what I did for a living for a really long time. And then I worked with every counterintelligence agency in the federal government. What you see in the case of Joe Biden is classic case of what the Chinese call elite capture. They do it on an industrial scale. What's it boil down to? They buy powerful people in target countries and turn them into assets. By asset, I mean a source, a controlled person. They gain control over you because they buy you. This isn't science fiction. This is documented fact. They do it all over the world. At the heart of the whole Biden thing is the Chinese Communist Party. But let's take it a step further. Is CEFC China Energy. Everything that Hunter's, all these guys are working for CEFC China Energy. They're talking to the Bidens. CEFC China Energy is a Chinese front intelligence front company. It is not a legit commercial business. It's not running energy projects. Its entire purpose is to buy control over people. So that's who, when we're all done with the hookers and all the other stuff, to me, that's at the heart of this, right? You got Chinese intelligence funneling millions and millions of dollars to the guy who now sits in the Oval Office. So I know exactly what that is, looking at it, because I've seen it for decades. In fact, one of the guys that Hunter was dealing with directly, Patrick Ho, who worked for CEFC China Energy, was in fact convicted on U.S. soil. He was convicted for doing exactly this, buying officials, in this case at the United Nations. And remarkably enough, the FBI, when they were investigating him, tumbled to the fact that he was also in direct contact with Hunter and funneling all this money to him. And while they prosecuted him for buying other officials, they covered up for his connections to the Bidens. So you got the FBI running, in my opinion, interference for Chinese intelligence on U.S. soil.
Intentionally.
100% intentionally. When they prosecuted Ho, they wanted to use things like transcripts from the wiretaps on his phone and so forth. They went into the judge and got his approval to redact, to black out from the records any reference to the Bidens. So they had to take, this is obviously involving DOJ as well. They
sure.
went in to deliberately hide that they're investigating a Chinese spy on U.S. soil and convicting him of bribing and buying UN officials.
Right.
And simultaneously covering the fact that they can see he is doing exactly the same thing with the Bidens. That's documented fact. That's not a conspiracy theory.
So in other words, while they're convicting him of being a spy regarding these issues,
yes,
he over here at the same time is running a Biden operation basically for China.
Yes.
And they don't touch that. They leave that alone. They let him continue to run the operation with Biden while prosecuting him over here. I don't remember what was the disposition? What ended up happening to Ho?
Ultimately, he goes to prison. But the thing is, Ho is only one of the guys from CEFC China Energy. He's only one of the Chinese intel guys here. So right. while they send Ho to prison for bribing UN officials, they leave, not only do they leave the connection to the Bidens intact with CEFC, but they deliberately bury it. Literally, they have hearings, you know, behind closed doors with the judge to redact any reference to the Bidens from the documents.
My gosh.
So they hide this. Now, you would think about this, if you tumbled across Chinese intel in direct contact with the vice president of the United States, which we were at the time. Who
right.
He was at the time.
Right.
You think every red light in FBI headquarters ought to be going off. Hey, these guys for a living buy foreign officials.
Right.
And it looks like they just bought the VP.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be burying it. You should be pulling extra manpower in to say, this is the biggest counterintelligence threat in American history.
They well, and to find out whether or not is you know, if the VP is aware.
Yes.
How aware is the president? Right. How much did Obama know about the whole? And, you know, I think it would be foolish to believe that Obama was blind to this as if Joe Biden could do anything during that administration that didn't have Obama's stamp of approval upon it.
Perfectly legitimate question, but the bedrock here, as we both know, for the FBI, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to run it to ground.
Sure.
Grab a hold of the facts, follow it to resolution. If in the end we're totally mistaken and the VP is not really on the Chinese payroll, good news. But what you don't do is you don't cover for him and bury it and just leave it unresolved. And of course, now it has become infinitely worse because this guy who was bought as the VP is now sitting in the Oval Office himself.
Well, and let's be clear. I mean, you've seen, you watched the presentation of Congress. You saw them lay out all of the transactions that took place. I'm sure you've investigated yourself because of who you are. You know, looking at this evidence, peeling through the documents, going through FOIAs, all that information, based on your analysis, if you were a case manager with regards to this situation, what's your conclusion?
Yeah, well, certainly my operating hypothesis is the guy sitting in the Oval Office works for Beijing. They bought him a long time ago. And I would, you know, here's Exhibit A. Make a list of every national security foreign policy related decision he's made since he sat down in the Oval Office and tell me one time that he took made a decision to our benefit and to the detriment of Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party. I defy you to find one. This sure. makes the Russian penetration of the Manhattan Project pale in comparison. And yet the FBI is our number one counterintelligence agency, and they not only don't show any interest in it, they seem to dedicate themselves to covering for him and preventing anybody from ever getting to the bottom of this. That's terrifying, actually.
Well, and it certainly seems apparent to me that there can be no question as to the link. I mean, just look at the Chinese balloon debacle, right?
Right.
No action until China had basically gathered all the information that was available for them to gather, and then, hey, let's help China out by destroying the evidence.
Yeah, we let this thing do donuts over our most sensitive nuclear, our ICBM fields, our nuclear command control facilities, obviously transmitting home the entire time all the data, right? And when it's all done and it's completed its mission in its entirety, then we drop it into the ocean and announce, well, I guess we'll never know what that thing was up to. While we're simultaneously draining our strategic oil reserves, while we're doing any number of other things, we have taken our war stocks and pulled out ammunition we prepositioned in Korea, Israel, everywhere, shipped it all to Ukraine to be expended in a conflict between the Ukrainians and the Russians, and knowing that it will take us 5, 6, 7 years in some cases to refill those warehouses, meaning if we go to war with the Chinese, we got nothing to shoot anymore, literally. I don't say that as a friend of Vladimir Putin, so I'm just saying that right. I think the number one danger is the guys who might attack us tomorrow. That would be where my priority would be.
Well, the reality is what, you know, and I know munitions people. I know guys that own these munitions factories that have been sitting. And even during the Trump years, unfortunately, things were hung up. They've been sitting here for 8, 9, almost 10 years now saying, I'm set up, I'm ready, I'm good to roll, I've got the materials, I've got everything necessary to start producing the munitions that I know we need.
Right.
But I can't get the green light. I cannot get the government to give me the green light so I can just start making this stuff, because yeah, I can have you refilled in about 6 months. But it ain't going to happen until somebody gives me the green light so that I can start producing it.
Yeah, people don't understand that. They think we've expended Javelin missiles, for instance, anti-tank missiles, and that somehow or another you can just snap your fingers and next Tuesday the warehouses will be filled. That's not, as you and I both know, the way this works, man. If you want this to happen, start issuing the contract, start and get people to gear up. You got to get a running start at this thing.
Yep.
In the interim, we have literally pulled war stocks out of the Middle East, literally out of South Korea, and shipped the stuff to Ukraine. So our guys in the 2nd Infantry Division sitting up there in Korea, if things go hot with the North Koreans, are all of a sudden going to be going to ammo bunkers and be told, sorry, guys, we got no rounds.
We got. You're going to have to hold this by some kind of sheer will, because, you know, it's the battle of the bulge all over again. Sam, God bless you, man. Thanks so much for being with us today. I greatly appreciate it. SamFattis.org, SamFattis.org, and then you can find the link to And, where he is writing right now. And I look forward to having you back again, sir. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this. Joined by Lee Williams, we're going to talk about 2A. 2A, Second Amendment, our right to defend ourselves under assault by this administration. We'll have that coming up for you right after this break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up. And in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil so you all might enter into his rest. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. And I'm very pleased to have joining us by phone today, Lee Williams is with us here on Chosen Generation Radio. Lee, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, Pastor. Good to be here.
Well, they're after our Second Amendment rights once again, sir.
Yeah, they haven't really stopped since Joe Biden got elected. He has ramped it up unlike any president we've ever seen before.
What are the let's go through that so that people have kind of a barometer, I guess you could say, to look at where he has gone after it. And I, you know, the Supreme Court, thankfully, has stepped in a couple of instances and reaffirmed our Second Amendment rights. In one instance, though, they basically said, we're going to let this continue to run through the courts. But talk to me about some of the areas that you're most concerned about when it comes to our Second Amendment rights.
Okay, I'm taking a big inhale here. Joe Biden has declared a war on gun dealers, thinking that if he gets rid of the gun dealers, he'll get rid of the guns. He's issued a massive amount of unconstitutional executive orders, all of which infringe on our Second Amendment rights. We tracked how many times he has lied about guns in the Second Amendment. That's up until the article ran, there was 304 big lies. He's using false data to gaslight Americans about mass shootings, about homemade firearms, which he calls ghost guns, even though Americans have been making guns in their homes since before there was the United States of America. He's using false data to gaslight Americans about law-abiding gun dealers, whom he calls rogue gun dealers. He's colluded with the financial industry, the shipping industry, and the legacy media to infringe upon our Second Amendment. He's weaponized ATF into criminalizing pistol braces, aftermarket triggers, solvent traps, and that's completely unconstitutional. ATF is completely without the authority to do this. He's got ATF doing knock and talk home inspections, which are unconstitutional, which they try and talk their way in to law-abiding gun owners' homes. He's got ATF SWAT team raiding law-abiding gun owners, especially those who work out of their home, the home-based gun dealers. ATF has created, and we've caught him doing this, an illegal gun registry, which is prohibited by Congress. ATF and IRS are now teaming up to conduct raids on gun dealers with their SWAT teams. And then he has completely over-militarized the IRS agents. Right now, they're carrying Heckler and Koch 416s, which are in use by our Tier 1 type forces. That would be Delta Force and SEAL Team 6. That's just a little bit that comes off the top of my head, Pastor. But lately, the big thing right now is they're trying to redefine what constitutes a firearm. And we caught them at that. The case is Vanderstock v. Garland, and the Supreme Court has taken a little bit of action on that recently.
Wow. I mean, it's really overwhelming, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, I work for the Second Amendment Foundation. There's two sides to our organization. You have the legal side and the educational side. I'm on the educational side. I'm the chief editor of their investigative journalism project. Second Amendment Foundation right now has more than 50 lawsuits nationwide trying to restore our Second Amendment rights. And after the Bruin decision, the Supreme Court Bruin decision, in which the Supreme Court said you have a right to carry a defensive firearm outside the home and you can't just willy-nilly ban guns that are in common usage, what we're seeing right now is what I like to call Bruin tantrum laws. You've got all these blue state liberal politicians pushing back, creating laws they know are unconstitutional. They know these laws violate the Supreme Court's Bruin decision, but they don't care because they know we'll have to spend our time and our money, and it is our money, to overturn their unconstitutional laws. So, yeah, it is a busy time.
Of course, we know that the ultimate goal here is they want to disarm Americans. I just did an interview the first hour with Masara Kim, who is a journalist over in Nigeria, and they are being overrun by the Islamic-led military that is committing genocide against Christians over there. And one of the differences between what they have happening in their country and where we are, fortunately, still a little bit currently here in America, is the ability to defend ourselves. But that's the whole issue. I mean, that's their whole thing.
You're absolutely right, Pastor. That their ultimate goal has always been and will always be total civilian disarmament. They want to take the guns out of my states, who have never hurt anybody, which I pay good money for, and make them illegal and make me turn them in. I mean, I'm an investigative reporter. Quite frankly, I piss people off for a living. I've had more than a few death threats. Who are they to tell me what tool I should buy to defend myself and my family? Yet they want to.
Well, they don't want to just tell you what tool you can buy. They want to make sure you don't have any tools, period. I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, yeah. I appreciate what you're saying, but in all honesty, in my humble opinion, I believe that their ultimate goal here, Lee, is to say, Lee Williams, you're not entitled to defend yourself. You will bow down and kiss the ring, or we will end you.
I couldn't agree more. And everybody always says, you know, the upcoming election is the most important one ever. This is the most important one ever. From a Second Amendment standpoint, if you value your Second Amendment, your God-given right to self-defense, which has been codified in the U.S. Constitution, you better think about who you're voting for, because they just don't care about the law. I mean, we have slapped the ATF on their frame and receiver rule, their pistol brace rule, their bump stock rule. They're going after aftermarket triggers. We continually slap them down by showing that ATF is violating the separation of powers. ATF wants to be the judge, jury, and executioner. They're now writing rules which carry the full weight of federal law, meaning that if you violate them, you will go to federal prison, and then they're enforcing the rules that they wrote. Doesn't work like that. Congress should have some say in that.
Lee, wouldn't you suggest that ATF, truthfully, I mean, we're talking about, you and I are talking about this, this is August 15th, 2023. But let's go back and talk about, you know, what was it, 1982 in Ruby Ridge, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, let's go back and talk because it was ATF at Ruby Ridge that assassinated Randy Weaver's wife. Okay.
Yeah.
It was ATF at Waco that led the charge that murdered innocent people whose weapons, by the way, were in a room that actually was trying to follow the law. They were locked up in a room where the general populace didn't have access to them, where children couldn't just pick them up, and they raided that compound. They didn't raid it. They bombed that compound. That was ADF, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, and don't forget, you know, that they have a history of violence. Not only for Waco and Ruby Ridge, but look at Fast and Furious. They allowed to walk into Mexico.
Yep.
And unfortunately, a hero, Brian Terry, the Border Patrol agent, was killed by one of these ATF guns. But in addition to that, there have been hundreds of Mexican nationals that are still being killed today by these firearms. I mean, we do not need ATF. I have called for them to be completely abolished.
Yep.
There might be some good guys working there. I just published a story today on their harassment of a home-based gun dealer in Texas. And he pointed out, you know, there might be some people who are good people working for ATF, but they've drank the Kool-Aid and, you know, they none of them are quitting. So it is, at best, a criminal organization. It has always been one of the most politically minded alphabet groups, wherein they, you know, they look to the resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and do what he wants. Well, under a Republican administration, you know, we've managed to keep them in check. But under Joe Biden, he's weaponized them. And there is no federal agency. Everybody complains about FBI. Yeah, that's a bad organization.
It is.
But compared to ATF and their willy-nilly, the way they violate civil rights, ATF needs to go. I mean, they don't, they're using their SWAT teams to kick down doors of guys that have not committed a crime.
Yep.
They do not, nothing that they did, if you look at their history, is there any value, do they value the sanctity of human life? Okay.
Yep.
That's a huge problem.
Well, and I would suggest that you could take that, you know, again, you know, it wasn't 82, it was 92 or 93 was, well, that was the Waco thing, but even Ruby Ridge. But my point is that I would suggest that it probably begins when Clinton jumped into the White House. I mean, that, you know, 1992, that's when all of this really began, and he began weaponizing these agencies.
I mean, and if you look at what they did at Waco and Ruby Ridge, they had Randy Weaver on some charges they cooked up on a short barrel shotgun. They had David Koresh on some, allegedly on some grenade bodies. Either one of those guys, both of those guys went into town frequently. They could have had a local deputy sheriff pull them over, pick them up. It would have been no issue. But no, they went for the headlines. They want this siege. They want, ATF has always been addicted to headlines. Well, they got them. And they weren't very good.
Yeah.
But again, I go back to my big problem with that agency. They do not value the sanctity of human life. They don't.
Well, their charter, you know, was not in, and what they're currently being used for is not what they were originally intended for.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they were the original revenuers. They were going around looking for whiskey stills and untaxed cigarettes.
Yep.
But they've morphed into this. I mean, they're training their SWAT team four times a year to kick down doors and take, you know, these are good Americans who they're targeting. These are law-abiding folks. You know, I have so many friends that are gun dealers. You will not find a more patriotic bunch than gun dealers. They're not going to violate the law, but ATF is treating them like criminals because Joe Biden said there are rogue gun dealers out there. He's going to find them, whether they're rogue or not.
Yeah, they were transferred to the Department of Justice in 1930, briefly a division of the FBI, but they were the, you know, they were the enforcers, Bureau of Internal Revenue in 1920. And then, if I'm not mistaken, they were significantly also involved in the enforcement of prohibition.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, quite frankly, nowadays, I don't care if some country gentlemen want to sell some corn squeezins on the side. I really don't care. What they're using them for is killing people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they don't serve a purpose any longer. They really don't serve a purpose other than to be used by policymakers that want to restrict our Second Amendment rights. And let's talk a little bit about that, because, you know, again, there is no education with regards to the purpose of the Second Amendment and as it relates to our ability to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government. And that was really, you want to talk about primary purpose, right? I mean, Lee, in my understanding, that, you know, constitutionally, that's the reason why the Second Amendment exists.
It's not about hunting. You won't find a word in there about hunting. Trust me on that. Yeah. It's to defend ourselves against enemies, foreign and domestic, and a tyrannical government. That's why, you know, people ask, they get confused by the militia part of the Second Amendment. I'm the militia. You are the militia. That was what was expected of a free man, you know, to have a weapon, to know how to use it, to have it ready when needed. That's what that part was all about. They just don't seem to get it.
Well, and understanding, and everybody then goes, well, yeah, but that was, you know, okay. Yes, they came out from underneath the king. It was the citizens, we the people, who fought for their rights and their liberties, having declared their independence because of tyrannical and oppressive, and let's be very clear also, an unbiblical authority that was being thrust upon them. There was Absolutely. A man that was saying he was God, in essence. And the people in America said, no, I don't think you're God. There is a God. He is the God, and I'm holding up the Holy Scriptures. There's one God, the God of this Holy Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who sent his son, Jesus Christ, who introduced us to the kingdom of heaven and said it is at hand, and we are members of that kingdom right here, right now. We have one king. His name is Jesus, and that's it. And you're either going to go along with that, or I guess we're going to have a fight. And we did, and we won. And we said from that point on, it's we the people, our rights endowed, thereby put in us by this creator, by God himself. And man cannot take those rights away from us. Period, end of story. And here are the tools that we have. We have God in us, prayer, the power of prayer, the power to try to educate and speak, the power of the free press, the power to redress our government, the power to peacefully protest. And if those five things don't work, then we've got the Second Amendment and the right to defend ourselves when you violate the first five.
Couldn't agree more. And I look at the Second Amendment as a God-given right. God gave me the right to self-defense. It just happens to be codified in the U.S. and a lot of state constitutions.
Yep. And thereby also, you know, running down the list, the right to protect my property, the right to my privacy, the right to be able to live out my life morally, by the way, I might add. Not selling kids in sex slavery and not mutilating innocent children's bodies because you've got some perverted fetish. Just saying.
Amen.
Just saying. Lee, where do we go with this? I know we've got some people, you know, representing us that seem to get this, but it's really, isn't it? I mean, it's really going to take our voices, we the people, raising our voices and saying, "No, you're crossing the line here."
Yeah, and the best way to do it is by what you're doing right now, by staying informed. Join the Second Amendment Foundation. Join NRA. Join Gun Owners of America. Join NAGR. I don't care. But you have to have some source of information that you can trust. The other side, Joe Biden and his ATF, are putting out propaganda like you cannot believe. The other team has a propaganda factory. They've got Tiny Mike Bloomberg up in New York. He's funding all these anti-gun groups. Look at the Trace. They make the propaganda. Every town makes the propaganda. The Trace tries to, you know, claim it's some type of journalism organization. They put out the propaganda. You have to stay informed. You have to listen to your show, listen to good shows that you trust, and you have to become politically active. Now is the time not to sit on the benches anymore. Okay, we don't need anybody sitting on the sidelines. We need people who are active and involved, because our numbers are much more than theirs. We just need everybody to help. And gosh, we need everybody's help. Now more than ever, and
I just would suggest, ladies and gentlemen, please don't go to sleep on this. Don't assume, you know, no. It. Americans have this, and I won't say it's laissez-faire, but I think we just kind of deep down we're like, oh come on. I mean, they're not going to go that far. I blame the church. I blame the church for propagating the idea that man is inherently good, because he's not. Okay, Jesus Christ came because man is inherently evil. In fact, John chapter 3 says that the light will come into the world and men will choose darkness. So let's be clear, okay? The power, the governmental power, all of that. This is nothing new under the sun. Man craves this, he goes after this, and he tries to rule other people. And unfortunately, I mean, look at the history of Israel. How many kings did they have that dispensed with God and his rules and took on their own and worshiped the devil? Over and over and over again. History is replete with these authoritarian entities that try to take over. And you know, when people say to me, Lee, oh, you know, the anti-government, no, this isn't an anti-government movement. This is actually a pro We the People government movement. This is a pro-constitutional republic government movement. That's what this is. This is about putting God back over America again and getting things in order. As our founder said, our Constitution is fit only for a moral people. Do I want immoral people, criminals with guns in their hands, taking advantage of innocent citizens? Absolutely not. But the only way you're going to stop that is to arm the citizenry in order to defend themselves against these criminals, not set them free and put them back out on the street.
No, we see that in Florida, where I live. I'm in Sarasota, Florida. We just got the right to carry a firearm, a concealed firearm, without having to bend the knee and beg permission from the government and pay a fee to have them sell my rights back to me. And the other team was, you know, they were predicting, oh, there's going to be blood in the streets. There's going to be shootouts over parking spaces. There's going to be massive killing. Nothing happened.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
We deserve the right to defend ourselves as codified in the Second Amendment without any interference or other problems from the government. And we're getting closer, I think, every day. Now more than half the country allows you to carry a weapon concealed. But, you know, you can't stop. You look at what they're doing every single day. They're trying to take away that right. And we need people to help us stop that.
Here, here. Well, we, you know, we passed that here in Texas as well. You don't have to have a license now in order to carry conceal. You have it's not quite constitutional carry, but there is the ability to carry a concealed weapon without having to, again, as you said, pay for the right that is actually our right. And hopefully in another legislative session, you know, in the next 2 years, we will finally get in Texas to the place of having complete and total constitutional carry. But nonetheless, we've finally made some progress with that. Lee, thank you for being with me today. Second Amendment Foundation is who Lee writes for. SAF.org. SAF. That's Sam Alpha Frank. .org. Lee, final words. We've got about a minute and a half.
Oh, I can't tell you, Pastor, how much I've enjoyed the conversation. I hope your people enjoyed it too. You seem to get it. One last thing, keep an eye on the case that we originally started talking about and contact your elected officials about this Vanderstuck v. Garland, because the ATF is trying to take away the right to make homemade firearms.
Give me the name of that case again, Lee, so we can say that again.
Vanderstock, V-A-N-D-E-R-S-T-O-K, mm-hmm. V. Garland, as in Attorney General Merrick Garland. Keep an eye on that, folks. Contact your people, your elected officials. It's an important case.
202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. You've got one congressman. You've got two senators. You need to make three phone calls, and you need to tell them to support Vanderstock versus Garland and encourage them to make sure that they are making their voices heard with regards to defending our Second Amendment. Lee, God bless you, sir. I greatly appreciate you being with me today. Thank you.
Anytime, Pastor. Thank you.
You bet. All right, folks, we're going to take our break. We'll be back. Hour number three coming up. Chadwick Moore is with us, the author of Tucker's biography, and we'll be back with him coming up right after this break.